Relentless by Tim Grover. I've really enjoyed his book. But there's this one part that, like, I don't know if I 100% agree with. He kind of talks about this, like, dark side. Kobe Bryant had, Tiger Woods had.
The Mamba mentality existed for a reason. And there's so many young players nowadays that would die to adopt something like that. It was this FU mindset many high achievers have and have had. Here's my thoughts with it.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Ditto.
Ditto.
Matt, how are we doing?
Really, really great. I have a dad joke for you to start off.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay, you don't really like guess. It's mostly just like a comment, but here it goes. Okay. I heard it the other day and I thought it was great. And I actually did it to my mother-in-law. Shout out to my mother-in-law. And she totally thought I was serious. So, okay. Ashley, did you know that when we die as human beings, the last thing to stop working are our pupils?
Okay.
Did you know that? They die late.
Did
you get it?
Yeah, I got it. I thought I was supposed to get it at pupils, and I was like, oh no.
That's not funny. Okay. That's good, right? They die late.
Yeah. That was
so
great.
Anyways, I wanted to start off the episode with a dad joke. I'm a fan of dad jokes, so that was for the audience. Hopefully they enjoy it.
I haven't heard one in a while, so thank you. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
I think it's actually pretty fitting that you started off this episode with a joke, because today we're talking about the whole athlete or the whole person and how all aspects of life contribute or take away from performing and being an athlete. And I think this is a really fun topic just because when we talk about high achievers or professional athletes, we oftentimes only talk about what they do to become the best athlete they can be, which is mostly like physically, with their like strength, speed, agility, depending on whatever sport that they're playing. We often don't talk about like their lives off the court or off the pitch or outside of the arena. But it's important. I think especially when we talk about mental health and mental performance, which is something that I think we're all trying to learn more about when it comes to the athlete, but life outside of soccer, like what does that look like? And how does it impact athletes? I don't feel like we have those conversations enough. I'm really excited to talk about this. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Matt, as always.
Wow, here we go.
Just to start off this conversation for us, I'm sure you experience this a lot when you talk to athletes or clients that you work with. I feel like they come to you probably thinking they're mostly going to just talk about their sport. But I think as I've talked to you, we've realized that there's things outside of sport, other stressors in life, whether it's family, job, living arrangements, whatever, kids, that also impact you as an athlete and as a performer. So, kicking it off to you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Pressure's on. My MO, my method of operation is holistic. And for me, holistically in working with mostly athletes and coaches, yes, but anybody. So in the business world or music or academia or whomever, I want to look at what makes them a human being, because we know, and if you don't know, I think hopefully you'll know after this episode, that it's not just the body that performs if you're in athletics. It's not just the mind that performs if you're a scientist. It's spiritual, it's relationships, it's holistically looking at the performance domain. And this for me was really proven evident in my studies as a doctoral student at the University of Tennessee, go Vols. I went in to my doctorate studying sports psychology thinking that I was going to be studying goal setting and visualization and imagery and all these really cool sports psych stuff, right? Before that, I came from strength and conditioning, and then I realized how important the mind was. And so here's my holistic journey. Started with body, strength and conditioning, and then sports psychology, psychological realm of performance. But I had a really, really wise mentor, Dr. Leslie Fisher. Shout out to Dr. Fisher. I know she listens to every episode. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't know if she does. And she, in conversations with her over the first few months of being a doctoral student, she asked me so many in-depth questions about who I was as a human being. It wasn't just, what do you think about this theory that underpins goal setting? It was spiritual, religious, relationship questions. And so she pushed me out of my comfort zone to realize and to recognize the paramount importance of holistically looking at a human being when they're performing. And so as a result of that, my research, my quote unquote expertise, is essentially within Christianity / spirituality, just kind of broadly speaking, and its intersection with sport and sports psychology. That's where my, at least from a empirical standpoint or research standpoint, that's where my interests really, really are huge and where they thrive. Because of this intimate understanding for me that it's much more than just the body when it comes to high performers. And yes, I'm talking about sport, but again, I'm talking about other domains as well. It's the mind, it's the spiritual orientation, it's relationships, it's everything. And so for me as a quote unquote sports psychology professional, when I work with athletes and work with individuals like yourself, Ashley, we talk about a lot of things. It's not just goal setting and visualization. It's what's your religion? What kind of role does that play? What's your spiritual orientation? What kind of injuries are you experiencing? And how is that affecting you emotionally, psychologically? What's the relationship like with your spouse, with your partner? And how is that affecting you as a performer? Because all of these things have a role. My hope, honestly, as a practitioner and researcher, is to continue to increase the awareness, to continue to increase the integration of holistic development. I think some universities, some programs, some sports teams do this really well and some don't. And like you said, you talk to some athletes and you talk to some coaches, and if you ask them like, how are things, or how'd you play, right? Or how was training this last week? Inevitably, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's going to be, oh, I felt pretty good. I was running pretty fast, but I tweaked a hammy a little bit, and so I had to spend some extra time recovering. And then I woke up late, so I didn't really get some, you know, my sleep wasn't really great. Mm-hmm. And then I had a little upset stomach. It's going to be all physical is what they're mm-hmm. going to be portraying or displaying to you in that question. And so my follow-up would be, well, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, how are things going? And then you have a lot more to talk about, especially as a coach, especially as a friend, especially as a mental health provider, to help facilitate them as individuals to be the very, very best that they can be. I tell coaches and athletes all the time, a mm-hmm. better human being is going to make a better athlete. And so for me, that is inclusive of spiritual, mind, emotional, relationships, physical, etc. Anyways, so that's where I'm coming from. And so for me, it's of the utmost importance to take these things into consideration. So here's my question or my discussion with you, Ashley, is what have you been doing as a professional athlete to be aware of and even integrate a holistic perspective into your training, into your performance, into your human beingness as a professional soccer player?
That's a great question. Where to start? I mean,
it's so deep.
It is. For me, being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is really, really important. And having faith in God and Jesus Christ has really helped me, especially as a professional athlete, but I would say throughout my whole career, in realizing that I'm more than soccer and there's more to life than soccer. And it's a lot easier said than done. It's so difficult not to be like defined by your sport, whether it's your accomplishments or even if it's just like a good or bad day in training. I mean, you could talk to my husband, like he knows, like, I call him every day after training on my way home because I have a 45-minute car ride to and from training. And he knows just, like, by how I say hello, how training went. And it, like, it's funny. Like, he knows me really well, but sometimes it bothers me because I'm trying to, like, hide it because I'm like, I had a bad day of training and I don't want it to, like, bleed into the rest of my day. But it's really, really hard. So I feel like having that higher belief and just, like, purpose has really helped me. It's something that I'm always finding myself, like, coming back to when I'm having a hard time, where I feel that, like, I'm defining myself by soccer, which can be really hard. But also my relationship with my family is super, super important. And my relationship with my husband is really important. And I think by having these different things that do define me as a person that outside of soccer, it's really important to, like, recognize those things and to also, like, nourish those things. I feel like oftentimes as a professional athlete, and I've done this many times, and you kind of have to at some point, or when you decide that you want to continue to, like, grow and get better, is your whole life revolves around your sport and you're putting everything into your sport. But if you don't realize that, like, these other things outside of your sport are contributing, whether you want them to or not, then you're not going to be the best person and best athlete that you can possibly be. So I think the sooner that I realize that, the better. And I have to remind myself that many times, but it just takes constant practice and just communication and being intentional about my time with my husband, with my family, with my, like, this year in our church, we're studying the Book of Mormon as a whole church. And so I've been very intentional about my scripture study. And I've noticed a huge difference in just my day. I have a lot better days when I'm able to wake up earlier and study before. And I've never been a morning studier, but this year I wanted to try it. And so I did it. I'm doing it currently.
How's it going?
It's been great, honestly. I've really, really enjoyed it. I kind of am sad when I sleep in and press snooze and don't do it. I notice a difference. But I've really enjoyed it. We actually just got back from a 12-day road trip. We were on the road for 3 games, and I brought my Book of Mormon with me and my little, like, pens because I want to study every morning, and I made time to do it every morning on the road trip. And instead of just, like, sitting on my bed scrolling through Instagram on our downtime. And I just noticed a huge difference just in, I don't know, my day. I just, like, naturally just, like, a little bit happier, I feel like, because I'm reminded of, like, my purpose and just, like, the higher meaning of just life in general. And then therefore, I feel like I have a better day of training because I'm just, like, naturally, like, a little bit happier. But yeah, so it's been going well. But those are just a few of the things that I feel like I've noticed. When those things are going well, soccer is going a little bit better. When soccer is going a little better, those things are also going a little bit better. And it's sometimes when life's hard, it's like, okay, which part of my life is it really? Is it actually soccer? Is it actually my relationships? And how do I need to fix one of those? Is it I need to have more conversations with my husband and spend more intentional time together? Or is it like, I'm just upset because we lost or whatever it is? But yeah, I think it's all intertwined.
Yeah. I love that word. Intertwine is such a beautiful word to explain how all of these different avenues of what makes you a human being, this whole person or this whole athlete, affect one another, and they're intimately connected. And like you said, when one is good, the other can be good. When one is bad, the other can be bad, and vice versa. And all of these beautiful connections, you know, coming from, again, this field of sports psychology and being able to have the opportunity to mentor up and coming sports psychology professionals, I get asked this question often of, you know, do I bring up religion? Do I bring up spirituality? And I go, absolutely. If it's something that they value. Like, if they value going to church, reading scriptures like you were talking about, Ashley, praying, being in nature, meditating, whatever spiritual orientation and or religious orientation that they adhere to, and they value it, it's a big part of who they are as a human being, then you're doing a disservice not somehow, at least indirectly, including that in the conversations that you're having with your clients as a sports psychology practitioner, because they go so hand in hand. It, you know, breaking news, I'm also a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, like Ashley. And my all-time favorite scripture is Psalms 46:10, because it says, "Be still and know that I am God." But that "be still" part can correlate and translate to atheist, agnostic, Jewish, Buddhist, whatever religion or spiritual orientation that you adhere to. Being still, increasing your awareness, increasing your acceptance, is coming directly from therapeutic and theoretical approaches that we learn in the field of psychology and counseling, meditation, mindfulness, etc. And so for me, again, they're so beautifully intertwined. And if it's of value to a person, to an athlete, to a business person, it needs to be somehow included because it makes up who they are as a person. I have a question for you. I don't know if I've ever asked you this. You ready?
Oh boy, here we go.
I know you're on the spot. You, from my understanding, are the only member of this particular church on your team. Is that right? Or are there other members?
I was as of this year. Now there's two other members on the team this year.
Oh, cool.
So there's the first time ever.
Ever. So right. I was going to say, throughout your whole career, you've been usually the only one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah. Being the only member of this church, what is it like reading scripture, praying? I know you've talked about this in numerous news outlets, especially in the state of Utah. You've made it very explicit that this is your very important part of who you are as a human being. What's it like? Have you had awkward experiences with teammates or coaches, or has it been mostly beneficial or a positive experience?
Yeah, I would say without a doubt, it's been 100% positive. I think when I first entered the league, my rookie year, I was a little intimidated and nervous just because of the unknown, right? I went from going to a college where everyone had similar, if not the exact same beliefs as me, to a team that I had absolutely no idea. But my first, I think it was like my first or second day of training, a group of girls gathered together and like, "Hey, like we do Bible study, like we're like fellow Christians, and like any of you new players that would like to join, like we'd love to have you. We meet on Wednesdays, and this is our chaplain. She's going to lead us." And I was just like, "Whoa, this is really cool." So I instantly just like gravitated to those players that had similar beliefs. And I really enjoyed like discussions and just like learning about other people's beliefs. I mean, there's a lot of similarities, especially with Christianity, and we study the Bible, and I really, really enjoyed it. But I feel like throughout the years, every team has been different on like if there's believers or not. But I feel like for the most part, everyone's been super respectful with my beliefs. And of course we have different stances on different things, but I think it's the thing that's the most important is just like being firm, not firm, but like really convicted in what you believe and not being like super wishy-washy. I feel like everyone that knows me knows that I don't do certain, like I'll go to a party, but I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to do certain things, or I might dress a little bit differently, but everyone knows me and loves me and accepts me for that. And I know and love and accept them for the way that they choose to live their life. And I think that's the part that's the most important, is that we respect each other. But I would say this year, this season, is the most amount of believers or Christians that I've ever had on a team. And then also members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we've had some pretty cool discussions around like the dinner table, because we eat so many meals together. People just like curious about temples or churches and like what are the differences, and so those conversations are really fun, just because I feel like we get to share a little bit more about ourselves through our religion, and we get to know each other on a deeper level than just soccer players. And so yeah, that's been really fun, having this community of believers and just being able to meet, and we all pray for each other. We know what's going on in each other's lives outside of soccer, and we genuinely care for each other. I would say my whole team does that as well, but when we do it even more intentionally and meet together, it's been really fun, and it's been really, really cool experience.
Yeah. God, I love to hear that. The Spirit, who you played for North Carolina prior to the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, overall, with both squads, you've had positive experiences with you identifying as a member of the church. I love to hear it.
Yeah.
That people are accepting of that. What kind of advice, Ash, would you give someone who is highly religious of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or not? They don't have to be, or Christian or not Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into a public sphere like professional sports. What do you think?
I mean, for me, it was really important for me before I entered the league to truly know like who I am and what I believe.
Mm.
And continuing to nourish that for me, like nourishing my testimony and my Savior and just learning more about Him, has helped me as a player and as a person. And I think if you have a strong foundation in what you believe and you continue to nourish that, you're going to be perfectly fine. And I think that's really important. That's something that, like, I knew who I was before I entered this league, and it made it really easy for me to just continue to be who I am and who I want to be. And everyone around me was very accepting and has been very accepting. And it's been really, really fun to be a part of this league, just among players of all sorts of beliefs and faith and not faith and whatever it may be. And it's been really, really cool. And I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. God, I love it. For me, what stands out, you used the word conviction like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
A synonym for me with that is like firm belief, or a knowledge of that. For me, I think is imperative, especially for a religious and or spiritual person, having a firm belief, a conviction of knowing what you love, knowing what you value, knowing what and who you are as a human being. I think having that beforehand, or at least having a plan to solidify that going into a public space like professional sport, is so, so advantageous. And you've demonstrated that that is important. So listeners out there that are going into public spaces, contemplating, how do I still be this person even in this space? Well, start to solidify that inner knowledge of who you actually are from a spiritual, emotional, psychological standpoint. And that's going to help, I think, tremendously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ashley, I have a statement for you, and I want your comment. You ready?
Okay. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay. So this is coming from research that I did as a doctoral student. And again, broadly speaking, my research was on studying NCAA D1 student athletes and their spiritual orientation and how it intersects with their sport. And then this research also that I'm citing is coming from numerous sources that have been done since. I think the earliest source I have is from 2003. Here's the statement. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Research on the whole, some that I just mentioned, shows that religious/spiritual people are better off across nearly every conceivable domain in their lives, from relationships to physical health to sport, exercise, physical activity, mental health, happiness, satisfaction, parenting, etc., etc. Do you think that's true, Ashley?
I mean, I'm biased, but yes.
Right?
100%. I mean, just speaking from my own experience, I know that when I feel closer to my Savior, my Heavenly Father, I feel like my life, even if I'm going through something very difficult, which, I mean, we've already talked about a few things that I've gone through that have been difficult in my career before, I feel like I'm just a lot happier. I feel like I can handle hard challenges. I feel like I'm able to conquer the world, even if it may not like seem like it because of what I'm going through. But I know there's been lots of studies that have shown this, that have studied this. One actually that comes to mind is from my favorite book. I don't know if I've talked to you about this book before, but Lost Connections by Johan.
Yes, we have. Amazing book.
So stinking good. Yeah, I love this book. Yes.
Phenomenal book.
To give a little bit of context about the author, he's actually atheist, but in this book, he does a lot of research about why, on religion, and also just why humans have lost connection with each other. And he studies all different demographics. He goes and studies, I think, like a tribe somewhere far, far away from where we are. I can't remember exactly where it was.
that tribe in the jungle somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, he talks a lot about prayer. And I think there's a study, I'm paraphrasing here, so we'll have to go back and for sure like find the facts. But he talks about prayer, and specifically prayer when it comes to family members and families who are going through very difficult health challenges, whether it's like cancer or a surgery or a death or something that's like very, very challenging. And in this study, they studied something along the lines of like their hope, or I don't know if it was the exact outcomes, but what they found was that the families that had some higher belief and a higher power were able to handle these challenges a lot better with a lot more hope and just quality of life, even though they're going through something very difficult. And he compared prayer to a form of meditation. And and I never really heard that before, but it makes so much sense. I think similar to your favorite scripture of being still, like this quote unquote, like religious thing, like prayer, if you kind of say, hey, it's also a form of meditation, like it's applicable to everyone. And I just thought that was really powerful and really, really cool to hear someone who is atheist be like, hey, there's a power to prayer. Whether you believe in a higher power or not, like prayer, meditation, it does increase your quality of life and it will help you through life's challenges. And it's just so, so powerful. So to answer your question with another research project that I've read before, yes, like 100% undoubtedly, yes.
Yeah, that's another great resource. Phenomenal book. And we're not saying, and Johan isn't saying it's Christianity. It's just a form of prayer, right? So Ashley and I obviously have our biases and we're coming from our own lived experiences of being in a particular religion. But just broadly from a spiritual perspective, whatever you believe in something. And know that there's power outside of yourself that has an enormous influence on you as a living and breathing human being. So for me, and again, in my research, prayer similarly, for the athletes, the student athletes that I interviewed, and over the course of 3 years of being a doctoral student, I think I interviewed like 30, 35 student athletes. Prayer was like number one. So before kickoff, before the gunshot off for track and field, before the swim meets, before training, before so much. And then even during competition, it was, I rely on prayer more than anything else. And of course, the subsequent questions were, you know, why? Like, what does that do for you? And it was, again, using this language of mindfulness and meditation, it allowed me to recenter. It calmed my nerves. And for a lot of the student athletes that I particularly interviewed, it allowed them to have this component or this skill set of cognitive agility, which essentially is being able to have perspective. So if you lost or if you got injured or if you got benched, like it sucks, I get it. And you're not feeling great, but there's a lot more in life to be grateful about. There's a lot more in life that might be as important, and if not more important, than you being benched for that particular game, right? Or that particular match. And so that was another huge thing that, again, as a result of prayer, was acquired, right, with these student athletes. And they continue to utilize it and rely on it. I mean, it's part of their routine. It's kind of their pre-performance routine or during the actual performance or after. It's how can I include something like prayer So
yeah. Yeah, totally. It's super powerful. And I think for me too, as an athlete, it's, we want to like control everything and we want to be able to be in charge of everything. And obviously we can't always be in charge of results, but part of our job is doing everything we can to be in the best position that we can to succeed. But mm-hmm. to have this foundational belief in a higher power, it kind of gives us this freedom to let go sometimes. And yes. it's very difficult, especially just like as a high achiever and someone that's just like a go-getter. I want to be successful. I want to succeed. It can be hard when things don't go your way. And it's like, what did I do wrong? Like, why this? Why me? Or like, what can I do better? But sometimes you got to take a step back and it's like, I can't do everything on my own. I don't have all the answers and that's okay. I think if I didn't have this belief in a higher power, I think it would be really hard for me to, I'd probably mm-hmm. drive myself crazy. But yeah, I think that's some, like having that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I already try and control a lot of things, but having that like foundational belief and that helps with that perspective, I think is really, really important.
Yeah. I was just going to summarize your point in meditation language with this word of acceptance. It's such a hard concept, I think, for a lot of highly competitive individuals like yourself to embrace, accepting that you have, unfortunately, very little control over a lot in your life. But mm-hmm. the acceptance paradoxically puts you back in the driver's seat and allows mm-hmm. you to influence these things in a more efficacious way. And that is highly influenced, or can be, especially in your case, Ashley, by believing in a higher power, by believing it that there's someone or something looking over you, directing your life, right? That for me, mm-hmm. again, in meditation or mindfulness language, is acceptance. And one way that we can solidify that is via religion or spirit and or spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. 100% agree.
Okay, Ash, anything else along these lines of whole athlete, whole person that you think is important to include?
No, I think we covered a lot. We can also cut this out. I have a question for you. I do have a question that I want to ask you, but it might take us past time. I don't know where you're at with time.
I have like 12 10 minutes. Is that okay? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that enough?
Yeah, it kind of takes the conversation in a different direction, but I'm curious of your thoughts.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So, Matt, I now have a question for you. I've actually been thinking about this question for a while, not specifically for you, but just since I've read this book, Relentless by Tim Grover.
I don't know if you've heard of it. I've heard of it, but I need to read it for sure.
I feel like it's a pretty popular book, especially in like the sports world, especially Tim Grover. He's very good at what he does. He's known for being the legendary trainer of Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant.
I've heard of them. Yep.
But he talks a lot about like sports and business and like how to be successful, how to be relentless in what you do. And I really enjoyed his book. But there's this one part that like I don't know if I 100% agree with, and I have a hard time wrapping my head around it. Especially when we talk about this whole athlete and you say like a better human being is going to make a better performer or a better athlete. In Tim Grover's book, he kind of talks about this like dark side that like Kobe Bryant had, that Tiger Woods had, that like he talks about these successful athletes that he's worked with, and he talks about like kind of the importance of this like dark side, and it's helped them become the like relentless performers that they are. I should probably read up on exactly that dark side again, but I just remember reading it and it not super like not resonating with me super well, and having a hard time with it just because I disagree with it, and Tim Grover is way above me, and he's probably right in 99% of things.
Tim, we need to get Tim on here.
No, we're too little for him. He would be like, who are they? I'm just kidding. But anyway, I kind of disagree with it because, and yeah. I also thought about it too, though. I feel like he's mostly worked with predominantly male athletes. And I think there's also maybe a female aspect to his book that he hasn't had any experience with. But most people mm-hmm. that I talk to, most high achievers, there's a level of sacrifice that you for sure have to make to get to the totally. Highest level of your profession or of your sport. But I guess my question is, what are like your thoughts? You haven't read his book, but what are your thoughts on like people having to have like this like dark side of them? Because I feel like for me, I couldn't do that. Like I don't think I have the capability to like find this like dark side in my life to help
you
propel
mindset.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, like on the field, I'm a different person than when I'm off the field, but I'm still the same person. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally does.
Have you heard of that at all?
Yeah. I mean, the Mamba mentality existed for a reason. And there's so many young players nowadays that would die to adopt something like that. Right. Like it was this FU mindset that many high achievers have and have had.
Yeah.
Here's my thoughts with it. The balance of their life, I would argue, and I don't know any of these high performers, these amazing athletes.
I wish we did.
I wish we did. I wish I knew Kobe or Michael or somebody. I would venture to guess that on some level, they regret not spending maybe a little more time with their kids. Maybe not going to church like they could have, maybe not investing in more meditation or prayer type of exercises throughout their career. Now, I know on the kind of the tail end of Kobe's career in particular, he became a huge practitioner and advocate of meditation. Like LeBron, I think LeBron spends a lot of time in meditation as well. And so one could argue that that's their spiritual side. Now, to your question, like, okay, is that healthy in terms of it contributing to this dark side FU mentality? I guess my response would be, if it works for the individual in the domain where they want it to work, feel free.
Yeah.
They use this term flip the switch a lot in sport. With us, you know, psychologically, when you step on the pitch, when you step on the court, when you step on the field, you need to flip that switch. And I think that's completely healthy because there is a certain mentality that might be required at these highest of high levels to be able to compete and to be able to make a difference. And not only a difference, but be the very, very best like Kobe or like Michael. That's kind of my thought processes around it. However, again, I go to, well, off the court, like, are they good people? And do they think about religion or spirituality and relationships when they're training and trying to be the best basketball player that they can be? Maybe. But I guarantee you, once again, if they didn't have a healthy relationship with their daughter, with their son, with their spouse, or something else, I guarantee you at times it trickled into their training. That thought of, God, I shouldn't have said that to my wife. Or, God, I had a chance to go pick up my son from third grade and I didn't. I was lazy. Or I decided to go do basketball instead when I could have. I guarantee you those type of thoughts started to trickle in when maybe they couldn't or shouldn't have. But it also is personal preference, you know, like some people prefer not to nurture all avenues of what makes them a human being. And so they somewhat neglect this spiritual orientation. I would argue it's doing them a disservice. And so who knows, maybe Michael Jordan could have been even better if it was a highly religious person, or Kobe or whomever. I don't know. But for me, it goes back to this idea of balance. And it's impossible to give 25% here, 25% there, 25% here, 25% there. You just can't do it. Because most of the time, especially if you're a professional athlete, and I know you can attest to this, you're playing soccer. You're away from your family. You know, you don't have a ton of time to spend spiritually strengthening yourself. Well, the idea is when you're in those spaces to be present. So that's your balance. Be present in the soccer when you're playing soccer. Don't think about relationships or religious things. And then when you're at church, be in church and serve and sing the hymns and do whatever you need to do. That for me, I think is important. Anyways, those are my thoughts. What do you think?
No, I agree with all of that. And I think that's, now that you mentioned that, that's one thing that like Tim Grover talked about is like, they weren't able to turn off this high achiever, this competitor, to someone that like was always just like itching to like succeed or get something that they don't have. And it came off the court with them. And especially because he worked really, really close with these individuals. So I think that that was something that he mentioned. But I also think that I'm not calling Tim Grover or any of this like old school bad, but I do think that there's a new wave of even just like leadership and coaching of like, you need to address the whole person and the whole athlete in order to get the most out of the individual or out of the team. And that's something that that's a transition that I've seen just even in my short career from youth soccer, college soccer, even in my professional career. Like I've just noticed like our club that the Spirit, the transition from like a soccer only, soccer success is all that matters, to our organization caring about you as an individual and your family and how can we support you off the pitch. And even from like a monetary side of like sponsorships and relationships with brands, like the Spirit has done a really good job of helping us like holistically. And like our player care manager, Katya, like she helps players when they get traded here or away. Like she helps them with everything because we realize the importance of the whole athlete and how if we can take away stresses from their life, it's also going to help them as players. And I think it's really cool, and I've seen the transition. I think it's still moving that direction because people are seeing the power in it, and it's really fun to see, and it's just awesome. I think another person that I think about, we often hear a lot about these male athletes and their success as high achievers, but we don't often hear a lot about female athletes and their success as high achievers or how they got there or what it took to get there. But as female sports is becoming more and more popular, I feel like we're hearing more stories of female athletes, especially like moms. I think it's really cool to hear moms say that, hey, once I had a child, my perspective on life like changed. I had a higher purpose. Like I wasn't playing and competing just for myself anymore. Like I'm competing for my child. And it's so cool to see because I feel like, before people were like, oh, a child, like you can't play anymore. That's a distraction. But that's not the case anymore. We're moving into a different direction. And I think someone that's shared a lot about her story is Carly Lloyd. I think in her book, she kind of talks about how she pushed her family away a lot in order to become like the best that she could possibly be. But now that she's retired, I think she has a little bit of that regret as well. I'm not speaking for her. This is just what this is my assumption from just hearing things that she said and how she's super grateful to be able to spend more time with her family now because she's missed so much. And that is a sacrifice that a lot of us have to make. But there is that balance of like, how much do I push my family away or how much do I try and integrate them into everything that I'm doing? Because it is hard. It's not easy. Or else everyone would be able to do it perfectly. But it's all just so interesting. But I think to wrap things up, I would just agree that all aspects of your life are very important, and how you balance them and how you prioritize them is really important in your success as a professional, but also just like as a person and your quality of life and your happiness.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that better. Ditto. Absolutely ditto. The last kind of illustration or example I want to share to tie a bow on this, while you were speaking, What came to mind was The Last Dance, the documentary about Michael Jordan and the Bulls. That's I think it's on Netflix now. Phenomenal documentary, right?
Yeah.
There were so many things that stood out to me that addressed the greatness of Michael Jordan. One thing that stood out was, for the most part, his teammates didn't love him. In fact, some of them, I think, explicitly said, we didn't like Michael at all. And so my mind immediately goes to, like, they won how many championships? 6 or 5 or something?
Yeah.
Maybe they could have won more if he wasn't such a D-I-C-K.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, right? Like, who knows? I don't know. But that's something for me that stands out as, holistically, how are you being the best that you can be? And again, not just spiritual or religious, like, relationships. Are you cultivating and being a good person to those around you? You can still push your teammates to the the furthest that they can possibly go, and not have to do it in a really demeaning, horrible way. Anyways.
100%. And I think that I've been told so many times throughout my career that I need to be more of a B-I-T-C-H. And it's hard. It's really hard, because I feel like there's a lot of people that would say to you that they disagree. Like, Michael Jordan wouldn't have been as successful if he wasn't the way that he was. And that's why there's only one of him. And that's a fair statement. But I also think that we are moving in a different direction. We're seeing this shift in sports where it's like, a lot of these things are really important. And maybe we need to think about it differently. Maybe if we think a little bit more about all these other things that contribute to a team and a culture, maybe we'll be more successful. It might take a little bit more time, because, like, creating these relationships and caring about all these things take time. It's not like a shortcut to success, which I feel like is something that we just naturally want. But if you're intentional about these things, and you take the time and you build the locker room and you have the right people and you have that camaraderie, like, everyone remembers when they've been on that type of team, and it's super powerful, but it's super hard to build because it takes time. So I know we're running out of time for this podcast, but I'm super passionate about it, and it's a very interesting topic. And I do feel like it's pretty controversial with the kind of, like, the old school mentality and kind of the new direction that I feel like we're going. And I'm interested to see how things continue to shift. But I feel like it's pretty obvious when you can tell when a club or an organization, like, what they value and what they don't, and how successful they are and how unsuccessful they are. Like, you see teams that have one-off wins, but they can't, it's not sustainable because they haven't built that foundation. But I don't know, it's all very interesting.
Holistic is the way to go, the whole person, at least in our opinion, right? That doesn't mean we're, like, the experts or the right way. We just saying this is the way that we think, and how a lot of research backs up. You know what I'm really excited for about this episode when it comes out? How they might have to put the E for explicit on the episode. That is going to be cool.
We both did that, didn't we?
We should just swear on our way out here, so we get a for sure E on the episode. Anyways, okay. Anything else, Ash, before we wrap up?
No, I would just preface that everyone's different, like we always preface. And for me, though, throughout my career, I said I would take it 1 year at a time. And I want to look back on my career and be happy about the person that I've become and the person that I was. And I still want to be happy and love myself and who I've become throughout my career. And so for me, that's why it's really important to emphasize this holistic athlete. Like, I want to be a really good soccer player, but just as important, I want to be an amazing wife or an amazing sister, amazing daughter. And I'm super passionate about that. And so even if I have coaches telling me I need to be more mean, like, I'll take that over, like, changing who I am. Yes, I can be more aggressive or get better or whatever, that, like, push those things aside. But when it comes to, like, being Ashley Hatch and the person that I want to be, like, I want to be able to look back and be proud of who I am and who I've grown to be. So
yeah, and you can
that's all I gotta add.
you can be the best in each of those domains and not have to sacrifice one domain for the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Holistic development.
Yes.
All right, folks. That's all we got. Thanks, everybody.
Adios.
Adios.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
We really appreciate all of you listening. We're super happy with all the feedback that we've got, whether it's good, bad, all of it. We love
it. If it's bad, don't do it. Don't leave a review if it's bad.
No, we can handle it. We want to get better.
Yes, we do.
So keep giving us the feedback, or if there's certain guests that you would love to hear on, let us know. We'll do our best to get them on. Keep giving us ratings and reviews. That really helps us. So we appreciate you all. This wouldn't be possible without you. So thanks again.
DITTO.
Ditto.